So I'm going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, I'm not going to read the whole purport, just a little bit part of it. It's a very long purport. Divinity and Divine Service. Tat Sridharana Munayo Gyanavairagya Yuktaya Paishandhyatmani Tatmanam Bhaktya Shruta Grihitaya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. How many were having simultaneous translation? Here, let me know if I'm going too fast. Ready? The absolute truth, purport, the absolute truth is realized is in full by the process of devotional service to the Lord Vasudeva, or the personality of Godhead, who is the full-fledged absolute truth. So two things are mentioned in this particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One is that we need two things, knowledge and detachment, to realize the absolute truth. Arjuna had also asked the same question in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna had a problem. His problem is the same problem everyone has in conditioned life. It's called the uncontrolled mind. And therefore Arjuna said, you've told me about this yoga system, but the problem is my mind, I can't control it. And the whole system is about controlling your mind. Now the question is, is it possible? How does one control the mind? So Krishna answered, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Asam Shaya Mahabaho, Manodir Nigraham Chalam, Abhyasena Dukundiya, Vairagena Tigriyate. If you need the verse, it's Bhagavad Gita 6, I believe it's 35. Lord Sri Krishna said, Almighty Arm, Son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it's possible by suitable practice and by detachment. So the question is, what is the suitable practice and what is the detachment? How do we get suitable practice? Well, first thing is we need knowledge. And what kind of knowledge? Knowledge about what is actually reality. Bhagavad Gita deals with that knowledge. Knowledge of Ishvara, the Supreme. Knowledge of the Jiva, ourselves. Knowledge of Prakriti, the material nature. Knowledge of Kala, time. And knowledge of Karma. Krishna didn't leave anything out in the Bhagavad Gita. That is to give us the vision of actually all these different elements. Without that vision of all the different elements, we don't know what to choose from. As Krishna says, apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti advat tadvat kamiyam pravishanti sarve sashantiyam apnoti nakama kami. That one who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean which is always being filled and is always still can alone achieve peace. And not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So desires are not usually just passive, just little thoughts that go through our mind. You know, all day long we see little sheep passing through our mind. Maybe at night when we're trying to fall asleep, we count the sheep, one sheep, two sheep. But actually desires, as Pariksha Maharaj told Sukadeva Goswami, many times they go through our heart and they strike our heart just like lightning. Why did this happen to me? Why did he say that and do that? I need revenge, revenge. I can't live without revenge. Oh no, it's too much. I'm such a victim. Everyone, please, once all together, cry for me. 1, 2, 3. Ah! Or I'm in love. I'm in love. It's just too much. I can't give it up. It's me. So these things go through our heart and we, let me go to sleep. The only relief. Wake up. Oh, sleep. It's too much. Hey, that hurts. So we have to learn what to give up. Just like snakes, they crawl. If you're in a forest, sometimes in Spain when I'm there at New Brajamandala, when I'm walking in the forest or up the hill, snakes come by. So the natural tendency is to run. And then the snake will run after you because, wow, must be good meal. Worthwhile to catch it. Or you grab the snake, and then the snake will surely bite you. The best thing is to just neutrally stand there. You don't notice the snake, and the snake doesn't notice you. Or the monkeys in Vrindavan. If you go to the monkeys in Vrindavan, then they'll go, and they'll steal all everything you have on you. And if you run away from the monkeys, then they'll run faster and grab whatever you have on you, too. The best thing to do is just ignore the rascals. And hold on to your package. So the same thing with the thoughts. We have to learn which thoughts we're supposed to appreciate and welcome, and which thoughts we're supposed to just allow to just flow from our minds and not get affected by it. As a matter of fact, the way the material world works is that if we're attached to something, then the material world seems to arrange itself to satisfy our attachment. I remember when I was doing the airport O'Hara. Probably said that airport, we should go there and ask them to change it from O'Hara to O'Hare. Hare Krishna Airport. It's called O'Hare. Or O'Hare, depending on how you pronounce it. So Prabhupada wanted to rename it as O'Hare Krishna. He told Tripurari Maharaj to go and tell them. It didn't get changed, though. Anyhow, we were doing the airport. This is right in 1980. And there was a rumor going around, Prabhupada in 1976, had said, soon there's going to be a world war. And everyone who was on the morning walk, they suddenly woke up to listen to find out what Prabhupada had to say about the next war. Especially when he said, that war, soon there'll be a war. That war is coming very, very soon. And then he described what the war would be like. And everyone was really attentive. As a matter of fact, I can tell you the whole story. Because it's quite exciting. Usually, you know, you're going to die soon. What? What did he say? So there is a mood in ISKCON. The war is coming. Matter of fact, some of our projects became manifested in Europe, like Nrisimha Kshetra, out in the middle of nowhere, purposely, because we didn't want anyone else to come. It was for the next war, so no one could find us. Where are the Hare Krishnas? We can't find them. So that was our mood, and everyone was, you know, we were told the war is coming, so everyone was ready for a fight. And indeed, Krishna used to send people, workers or others, I mean, partly because of the way we were distributing books, and partly because it was like this desire. We're going to be in a war soon. We got to practice. So Krishna sent his people to practice with. We got into it. There were a number of fights at the airport. Really, you know, heavyweight contender fights. So if we want our desires, if we have a certain desire, Krishna fulfills that. My favorite example is a devotee I knew who couldn't force him to go out in book distribution. It didn't really matter what you did. You had to practically push him out the door and then he'd push back. But one day, because he always thought, as soon as I go out, someone's going to hit me. So he's always afraid. For years he was thinking like that. As soon as I go out, someone will hit me. So finally they convinced him to go out. He went out, and the first person he tried to shake hands with took his fist and hit him in the face and knocked him out. Because after all, Krishna wanted to fulfill, you know, he was meditating for years. He developed such a strong desire, so Krishna couldn't help but fulfill his desire. And then sent him exactly the right person to fulfill his desire. So similarly, whatever we're, the whole idea of Hare Krishna, Krishna consciousness, is to develop, as Krishna says, atachitam samadhatum, nisakshno simayistiram, abhyasena yogena tato mamis chandun dunanjaya. If we cannot fix our mind upon Krishna without deviation and engage all our intelligence in Krishna, therefore, what should we do? Therefore, follow the principles of bhakti yoga and this way try to develop a desire to obtain me. We're simply trying to develop a desire to obtain Krishna. That's all. And how that desire is developed? Well, we have, because we hear, and out of everything we're hearing, hopefully we can remember something. Just like if you're having indigestion or poor assimilation, then generally speaking, you can't assimilate very much. But if you take enough ghee, you might get assimilate a little bit of the ghee, and that will give you some nutrition. So we're trying to hear, we're trying to remember something so that we could apply it within our lives. And if we apply it within our lives, then Krishna will reciprocate with us. He says, for those who are constantly devoted to worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So we may not be 24 hours a day in Krishna service, but if we engage a little bit in Krishna service, and a little enthusiasm, not that, oh, another day, another 16 rounds, how horrible. Oh, what a challenge. Let me chant my rounds as quickly as possible. 1, 2, 3, schnick, schnick, ram, 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 day, day, ram, ram, day, day, kitty, 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 hey, ram, hey, ram, ram. What a relief. I feel so good now. No more rounds. Now, if we approach devotional service like that, we're being tortured by our rascal spiritual master who gave us all these things to do, to torture us. And every day I have to get up and be tortured. Ah, just see all the scars I have from chanting Hare Krishna. Mental scars, you can't see them, but they're there. No, if we approach like that, oh Krishna, oh the energy Lord, please don't reveal yourself. Spoil my life. Let me just get this through. Associating with you is the worst thing I could possibly think about. You may be non-different from your name, but that's the problem. Now we have to develop a little enthusiasm. All right. Yesterday I didn't chant the holy name, my sikha or my head didn't stand on end. But let me try a little bit today, a little of enthusiasm. Maybe it'll work better than it did yesterday at least. So at least chant Hare Krishna, some attention, not, you know, go through our whole career before we join the movement, and during we join the movement, what our future career is, all when we're chanting japa. During the day, I'm really dull. I can't think of anything. But when I chant japa, my whole life streams through me, past me. I remember everything, past, present, future, and every enemy I ever had, every boyfriend, girlfriend I had. It's all there as clear as day. My pastimes appear as soon as I chant Hare Krishna. My name, form, quality, and pastimes all manifest themselves. And no one else takes it serious, but I take it seriously. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, oh boy. What a life. No, a little attention to Krishna and to Srimati Radharani, asking them, please engage me in your loving service, whatever that means. I have no idea what it means, but whatever it is, give me a little taste so I can find out. Then if we do that, and we get a little experience, and we think, well, that wasn't so bad. That's pretty nice. I wouldn't mind having another experience like that again. Then we might take it a little seriously. And when the thought comes by about Krishna, we think, oh, we're very fortunate. Even an instruction, if we can remember an instruction, some perception, some vision of what Krishna consciousness is and how to achieve it, then we should consider ourselves very fortunate. And when we're in this midst, this person, he offended me, he's agitating my mind, I'm in so much, you know, I'm so much anxiety, things are wrong, the world's wrong, the Illuminati are taking over, the sky is falling, they're spraying the clouds. Life is bad and it's getting worse. That's all right. But in the background there has to be some, I'm not this body. And all these non-devotees who are more or less causing so much destruction in the world, they're all representatives of Krishna too. They were sent by Krishna to give people their karma. And their karma in this age of Kali so far has not been very good. Therefore, rather than blaming that there's only a few bad people in the world and everyone else is good, then we should understand everything is perfectly arranged so that people can appreciate that this material world, if you do things according to Krishna, it gets better. And no matter what you do, directly or indirectly, which is not in line with Krishna's desires, things get worse and worse. So, of course, Krishna's desires have been manifested in different religions in the world throughout the centuries, and people have taken it more or less to different degrees seriously. But now we can see people are just disregarding all religious principles and taking the words of the demons. So much is mine, and I'll gain more in the future. So much money do I have, and I'll get more and more. She is my enemy, and I will kill her. And all my other enemies will also get killed. I am perfect. I am powerful. And I'm happy. I'm surrounded by rich and aristocratic relatives. I shall perform some sacrifice. I shall give some charity, and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, the demoniac could be bewildered by ignorance. So we have that tendency also. We've been trained up by a very systematic system to have all kinds of crazy thoughts go through our mind, which we take seriously. But without actually analyzing the things, because they strike our hearts, as Prakshamara said, and they cause us pain. And because we're in pain, we want to cause others pain too. I would reciprocate with you. Let me show you my love for you. Rawr, you rascal. You caused me pain. I'm going to cause you pain. Rawr, ah, I feel so good now. No, and then we get into more trouble, difficulty. Prahlad Maharaj said, the very activities that we're doing to get out of our problems causes five more problems. So one has to learn how to see things properly so that when we're in pain, we're in anxiety, we want this and that, then we see things, try to see things in Krishna consciousness. Try to understand that I'm suffering not simply because everyone else is bad and I'm a victim, others are bad and I'm a victim. We should take responsibility for our own suffering and learn from it. And learn from it from Krishna and from his representatives. I mean, generally speaking, Bhagavad Gita will tell us so many things, but also there may be some, even our mother may have said something which is valuable that we can remember. And like my mother used to always tell me, even if you're good, there's always someone better. So that's quite wise. I mean, she didn't exactly, she wasn't a pure devotee of Krishna, but at least she was on that trail. No matter how good you are, there's always someone better, until you get to Krishna, and then there's no one better. So even if our mom told us something that makes sense, we could remember, as long as it's in line with our teachings, then we can honor our mother, our Vartmana Pradaksha Guru, in some ways. But if we don't take seriously the words in Bhagavad Gita, and those who are following to some extent the words of Bhagavad Gita, even if they're not directly from the Bhagavad Gita, but they're part of the Absolute Truth, then we'll be overwhelmed by all these other nonsense things we've learned since we've been children, that we've taken so seriously, we based our lives on, and therefore we find ourselves always wondering what the future is going to be. Am I going to be successful? Is my mom and dad going to appreciate? Are all my ancestors going to look back and say, our ancestor was successful, he or she became a lawyer, now we can rest in peace. She became a doctor. In our case, it's a little too late, since we're in some other world right now, but we're proud of it. We had it, finally we had it. Someone in our disciple succession was successful. They became a doctor. Now we should try to enter into Krishna's disciple succession and see which actually is valuable, what will actually help us and help others, and everything else which is a waste of time. So that requires some introspection. And for that, we have to hear Bhagavad Gita regularly. And we have to hear and see examples of those who are following the Bhagavad Gita, so that when it goes through our mind, we can actually know how to deal with our thoughts properly. We can digest them and utilize them properly. Otherwise, why are people crazy? Why do people disturb? Because they can't digest their thoughts. They don't have the power of intelligence to digest their thought. They don't have the power of Krishna consciousness to put Krishna into their mind, which will dissolve all the anxiety and give us bliss and real knowledge. Krishna is the fire of digestion in our stomach. He's also the fire of, he burns with the light of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. That means within our mind. So if we put Krishna consciousness there, Krishna philosophy, Krishna perspective, Krishna intelligence, Krishna's form, quality, and pastimes, then all these disturbing thoughts, as probably calls the misgivings, they'll be burnt to the ashes in the joyful consciousness of Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Hvala. Vaprosi. Is it Vaprosi here? What's that? Prosim. Prosim. Close. Prosim. Yes.
Thank you for inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask, how can we recognize when we have some not constructive desire in us, like the example you gave with the book distributor. So how can we recognize such desire in us? I would like to just ask.
We feel morose, we feel agitated, or we feel proud. Those are the three modes: goodness, passion, ignorance. And if we feel humble, as a humble servant of Krishna, then we're in transcendence. Anything else? Okay, I guess we're actually, it's the first time I ever gave a Sunday feast lecture 3 minutes early. Someone must have a question. That's my question. Who has a question? Okay, we'll have 2 minutes of silence, meditation. Practice the thing. So tell me, what did you? Where's the microphone? Yeah, give it to her. Ask, What have you learned from the lecture? Just something. Okay, give it to Tatpurusha. Give it to Tatpurusha. Can you give us one point you learned from the lecture?
Oof, I don't know. All this stuff I heard so many times before, so it's not new. It's not that I learned something new, but...
I'm glad I didn't say something new. Wow, you said something I never heard before. It's not even in Bhagavad Gita, or it's not even our philosophy. But it's new, it must be exciting.
I don't know what to say, actually.
Well, that the fact that you said it wasn't new is good. Anyone else? Confirmed, at least I didn't make something up. Bhagavad Dharma.
I have learned that we have to acquire transcendental knowledge in order to act properly in Krishna consciousness.
Good. Anyone else?
Devotees are going out, will go out for the whole month. So can you give some advice, your experience, Sankirtan devotee?
Don't be afraid. They're all Krishna's servants. And Krishna will be very happy if you go out and you try to help them. Then he'll help. Anyone who goes out and tries to help Krishna bring his children back to the spiritual kingdom, there's no better engagement to get Krishna's mercy. Because Krishna will empower one to do that as much as we're sincere to do it. Because that's all Krishna wants. So we should go out with that enthusiasm. That although I don't feel right now I have so much mercy of Krishna, if I try to do his service, if I try to serve him this way, then he'll empower me. And I'll actually become much more Krishna conscious doing that service than I will be if I don't do this service. And if that's what our aim is, to become Krishna conscious, then it's a fantastic opportunity. We don't have to worry, we have to have every single word memorize what we have to say to everyone. Krishna will give us the intelligence if we try to serve him in that way. And we'll find out that actually gradually we'll realize that all these people are Krishna's servants. And some of them are ready to take up his service again. But we have to go out and ask them to do it, inform, be an instrument for Krishna. Otherwise, then we sit peacefully at home looking at our belly button, not much will be accomplished. Kurandarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.